Welcome to the best of Discover Wellness with Dr. G, a renovated version of Discover Wellness with Dr. G that highlights the best of the past shows and continues to provide timeless information and tips for our healthier you and your loved ones.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Grillo. You're listening to Discover Wellness with Dr. G. Our guest today is Tim Kimple. Welcome, Tim.
Hello, sir.
And he is with Sweet Meadows Local Farms and Farm Market. And we're going to talk today pretty much about a variety of things, but one of them is going to be from field to table and organic farming and your health. There are certainly a lot of issues that deal with organic farming. There's a lot of misconceptions, a lot of misunderstanding, and a lot of labeling issues that, quite frankly, get people very confused. And we're going to hopefully unmuddy some of that water today. So the first thing is, Tim, could you please give us a little bit of your history and what got you into organic farming?
Yes, sir. Really been part of farming all my life. Grew up on a farm. Dad was a part-time farmer, and we worked at a small farm with livestock and crops, and got a degree from Ohio State University in agriculture, and worked away from home for some time. Moved back toward home with my full-time jobs and worked part-time farming then, and did an awful lot of corn and soybeans, and consequently did a lot of spraying of corn and soybeans.
Yes.
And by the time I was about 35 or so, started to get some pretty significant allergies to a lot of pesticides. So we found ourselves really at about the about 15 years ago or so, at the point where we could no longer handle the pesticides, made me terribly sick. And so we tried to farm without pesticides, and we finally decided if we were going to do that, we might as well be certified organic and take advantage of what we were already doing. So
yes,
that's kind of how we've evolved to where we've at, and it's kind of been a really fun and interesting ride along the way. It gives me a background of what conventional – I was a consultant in conventional agriculture for about 7 years. So I really got a pretty good background in conventional ag, so I can draw some pretty good comparisons between
Certainly.
The organic world, the all-natural world, and the conventional world in agriculture.
And I'm assuming the young lady sitting next to you has worked hand-in-hand with you through this whole process.
Yes.
Very good,
yes.
Undoubtedly. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that a lot of this was self-discovery from the standpoint of own personal illness and things of that nature.
Yes, sir.
How do you believe that own personal overall experience weighs today in how you look at what you're doing?
Oh, pretty drastically. It really makes what I'm doing now important for not only me but for my customers, and for my perception of what I think agriculture ought to be about for people.
So, since there's a fair amount of mass production out there, which is a topic in and of itself compared to the percentage of what is grown in a more certified organic fashion, could you give us what you believe the perception of differences are between those two?
Well, first of all, certified organic is simply where an organic certifying agency looks over my shoulder and determines if I qualify to use that label. It's really no more magic than that. It's almost a marketing thing. It's what protects the consumer from somebody saying they're organic when they're not. That's really what that's about. I guess I would say then I would follow that with there's some really good food and production produced in parts of conventional agriculture, and there's some really good food produced in parts of organic agriculture, and there's some bad stuff in both.
That seems to run the gamut for most industries and most where people are involved. There's no doubt about it. When you look at the organic side of things, the people I've been very blessed to be in contact with tell me that there's a fair amount of paperwork and loop and hoop jumping that one has to do in order to not only get your certification, but then to maintain that. Would you agree with that statement?
It's kind of a little frightening before we got it all done. But when I look back on it now, it really wasn't that much of an issue.
Good.
It's just one of those things that you kind of got to do, and you really don't want to have to sit down and do all that. But When you get all done, it's not that big a deal. If you're doing a pretty good clean job to start with, it falls in place pretty well.
There you go. When it comes to what you have seen from a production standpoint, I just came from a 1,000-acre organic farm last weekend up in Wisconsin that we toured, and they gave some very good statistics in terms of yields for a variety of different crops. Could you talk a little bit? Because I think a lot of people assume that when you go organic, your yields are going to drop way down in comparison and things of this nature.
I think that's true as you're entering the learning curve. And it is very much a new paradigm, a totally new learning curve. When you've taken Roundup out there and sprayed the soybeans and all the weeds disappeared, compared to learning how to do it from a management side that's totally different with cultivation and crop nutrition.
Right.
That's a whole different world. But once you get your hands kind of wrapped around it, I don't see any reason that organic production can't be as high as conventional production. In fact, I know of somebody that produced some 300 bushel corn in part of their field, certified organic, and I've produced 200 bushel corn on little piece, not
yes,
all,
understood.
Of some ground and certified organic. So it's a matter of time and just a lot more intensive management.
Well, let's talk briefly about that, because I think a lot of people, even whom have a small little garden area, would be interested in finding out some of the hands-on, user-friendly things that they can do besides using what we're going to call the regular pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, things like that. I've always been told that the sooner you get out there in the spring and get rid of the weeds, the lesser overall of a problem it's going to be. Could you expand on that just a little bit?
Well, that's certainly true, but I'm learning and starting to experience that as we get the soil biology corrected, as we get the beneficial bacteria and fungi and all those relationships begin to come in line, as we begin to get in line with plant nutrition, that we can drastically impact what kinds of weeds grow.
Yes.
Because of how we manage that soil, to the point that some people really don't have a weed issue. And I really think you could go to their farm and scatter weeds all over it, and I don't think they grow, because it's more a function that the weeds are opportunistic. They grow under the conditions that they like. If you make those conditions different, they don't grow so much.
Well, I've had the most beautiful crop of gypsum weed this spring that I've ever had in my life, I can tell you that. And it was that horse manure I know that I got last year that made things different. So would you say that crop rotation is an issue?
It's a piece of it. But if that horse manure had been put on the fall before, and if you'd had time for the biology in the soil to balance all of that hard nutrition that you threw out there, I think you'd have seen something different with those gypsum weeds. Now, unfortunately, it still has some, but yes, you can absolutely. I have a small test plot where I just simply took a manure spreader and put a swath of manure across the other variables, and that's been 2 years ago, and I still have a horrible weed pressure there compared to both sides of it. So it's all about how we balance that, help nature balance it.
Could you give our listeners some how-to user-friendly tips of what might be able to be done to help them in that fashion?
Well, probably, yes. I mean, we could talk about that for a long time, because that's somewhat
my level of expertise.
But it's really about oxygen in the soil. Most of the biology that is beneficial is aerobic, and we'll find that most of the biology that is non-beneficial is anaerobic.
Yes.
So the more we can keep plenty of oxygen in the soil, the more opportunity we give that biology to balance itself, to balance the nutrition, to balance the issues.
So are you talking about making sure that the soil is loose enough in order to
absolutely
allow the oxygen in there?
Absolutely.
So
first
turning
of all,
it over.
No compaction. We don't necessarily have to turn it. We use something called a subtiller, and we basically lift it and drop it. But it's all about getting whatever it takes. And in some of my test plot this summer, we found that in early, the longer you can leave it open, the longer you can allow that oxygen to get down in there before you fit it down and plant it, the much more yield you'll have and the much less weeds you'll have. I saw a huge response to timing.
So would you say that rototilling isn't necessarily the best thing for most people to be doing?
Rototilling is generally a bad thing. Rototilling tends to break the soil up too much, tears up all the fungi in the soil. And if we're going to rototill, we only want to do the top couple inches at the most.
Well, we're going to take a break for a moment, Tim, but when we come back, I would certainly like to go into that a little bit more because I think that's in and of itself user-friendly information for a lot of people, and then we have a lot of other questions to ask. You've been listening to Discover Wellness with Dr. G. Our guest today is Tim Keppel, and we're going to be coming back in a little bit. We appreciate everybody listening, and this is something we're going to continue to talk about. It's in episodes. Until next time, this is To Your Health.
This program is not designed nor intended to provide professional medical advice, professional diagnosis, or opinion for official treatment or services for specific individual listeners. The information shared in this program and related website links are provided for general information for educational purposes only. The information on this program is not a substitute for medical or professional care. Please contact the Natural Wellness Center for a complete individualized professional consultation of your wellness needs, 740-687-0279.